Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hey, man. Good morning. How do you do? Hey, man. Just want to talk about the boys in blue. Hey, man. Now that you've been here a year, what's your favorite KCQ? Hey, man. What's new in the clubhouse, the bullpen, and the lineup, too? Hey, man.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Trip, Bob and Dusty wanna know.
Hey man,
what do you think of Slugger and FM radio?
Hey man,
is it true you're a deadhead too?
Hey man,
Kid Baseball wanna talk music with you.
Hey man.
That's right. Wednesday, 9 o'clock, joined by Royals manager Matt Cotrero. Matt, how are you on this Wednesday morning, sir?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing fine. How are you guys?
Doing pretty well. Got two more with Tampa Bay, then the big bad Dodgers come into town Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Last night, was that more of a struggling offense on your guys' part or more of a guy just in the damn zone on the mound out there for Tampa Bay?
Well, I mean, I think any time, you know, you got to look at both sides of it. It certainly wasn't our best game. It was one of his best. So there's a trade-off there between who's the better competitor at the time, and Taj Bradley got us last night.
You know, I think it's very simple to say when your stars produce, you win. It's happening all around baseball right now. Aaron Judge doesn't produce. The Yankees can't get out of their own way. You know, the Mets right now are in a slump, and the only person producing is Juan Soto right now in that lineup. Kind of the same for you. Like, you go as Bobby goes. How do you get Bobby closer to that level that he was last year, where he was that consistent guy every night for you?
Yeah, I mean, Bobby had a great road trip for us. You know, even the very end of the homestand, you started to see signs of him squaring the ball up more consistently. Last night, he fouled off a couple pitches that were probably the ones that he's been doing damage on, and that's the nature of baseball. You're a millimeter away from that being a foul ball or a double in the gap or a homer, and those are the things that, depending on who you're facing, you have to adjust your sights to what kind of pitcher he is. You know, hunt a certain pitch. And we've talked about this a lot. When the team is scuffling to score runs, guys try to do a little bit too much. And I think when Bobby stays in his own comfort zone, you know, we see the better results. And you're right. When Bobby goes, it's not only a lift production-wise, but guys look up to him so much. And because of his skill set and what he can do, it's so amazing that when he does get going, it gives the whole team a lift. Now, we need all 13 guys to produce, because it's not fair of any one team to put all the production or the hopes of production on one guy. And that's not how you win consistently in the big leagues.
You know, you mentioned kind of, you know, with Bobby, the team goes as he goes. We all know that. And him trying maybe a little bit too hard, or however, you know, George always used to say, try less. You know, don't try so hard, try less. Like, how as a manager, do you communicate that to your players to try less?
Well, you rely on your processes, you know, and that's really what it comes down to. And we talk about that regularly with, you know, you can try less all you want. You can go up there and they're still going to be throwing 98 miles an hour. So that sounds good in theory. Oh, just take a little pressure off. you need to rely on your processes. And what is that? It's how you prepare for the day. Am I in a good spot? Do I know exactly what I'm looking for on this guy? Am I going to stick with my plan? Can I be mentally tough enough if I get down in the count to stay with it? You know, do I feel like I'm in the right spot to compete physically, as far as does my swing feel good? Is there something I have to overcome, whether it's a bump or bruise or whatever? Do I have to do something slightly different to get to that spot? And when you get up there in the game dictates a lot of how you feel. You know, you're up a run, down a run, one out, two outs, whatever. Things change the way you feel mentally, and you need to be able to stick with that process. And that's what takes pressure off, is that you're not worried so much about, I need a hit here. No, it's more about, okay, let me get a good pitch. Let me put a good swing on it and see what I can do.
Do you guys as a team like feel the slump at home, or feel like the vibe is a little bit off currently at the home ballpark? And if you do, is there something that you do differently to get out of that vibe?
Well, we certainly haven't played well at home. I mean, it doesn't matter that we're trying to win every game. It doesn't matter where we are. Our goal doesn't change. It stinks that you don't play well for your fans. You know, that's disappointing. We've had good crowds. We've had support. We need to play better. We know that. Now, we can't, you know, you don't all of a sudden put a blitz on or whatever like you do in football. You have to go up there and take it literally one pitch, one at bat, one inning at a time. You can't go further than that. So when the first inning doesn't go your way, you got to turn the focus to your first pitch of the second inning. And that's what we try to do, and that's how we try to compartmentalize.
I don't know if you caught this last night with Marte in Chicago last night playing for the Diamondbacks. You broke down crying on the field, and his manager, Torre Lovello, went out, consoled him. They talked about it after the game. Some fan in the crowd was yelling stuff about his deceased mother. As a manager, how much stuff do you hear that goes on in the ballpark that is basically, for lack of a better term, Matt, just socially unacceptable to the players?
Well, fortunately, I have not heard anything like that. You know, our fans are tremendous. I haven't heard anybody say that. I mean, it's fine with me. Fans aren't happy with performance. And at times you hear things, you know, about whether it's decisions I'm making or player performance. And that's part of the game. You know, that's fine. That's they pay their money to come in. But I did see a little clip of it. I didn't know exactly what was said last night, but you know, that is, you know, crossing a line that there's no reason to bring that up for anybody, whether that's at the ballpark or elsewhere. You know, I mean, that's,
no doubt,
like you said, socially unacceptable.
Yeah.
Well, Matt, go take care of business versus Rasmussen, and then try to stay cool in that 1-10 start Thursday in Kansas City against the Rays. Then bring on the Dodgers and shock the world, my man. We appreciate the time.
Okay, guys. Have a great week.
You as well. Matt Cotrero, Royals manager there, joining us there. I think he's right about that. When you go to the Marte stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't be saying that in life, like, right, let alone,
yeah,
sports is where we take the focus in that story.
Right.
And, you know, I think it's just in general to have that sort of bone in your body, you're just not a good person.
Right. Exactly. And I know a lot of people blame the gambling for why fans are behaving the way that they are. But it's okay to say some people are just scumbags. And I don't think that, you know, last night. Now, again, I don't know if the guy had money on the game or whatever. He was a White Sox fan heckling a visiting ball player, so I'm assuming he's a guy that was heckling just for the sake of heckling and then ultimately crossed the line.
Well, Marte hit a home run earlier in the game,
yeah,
so like, he comes up again.
Okay, and, so he's heckling the guy. So it's not because he has money or something, I don't think, anyway, on that. Everybody wants to immediately go, see, this is what happens because we legalize gambling. Now, this isn't legalized gambling that's making this guy perform that way. That's just him being a socially unacceptable human being. And I keep watching that video of Marte crying, like, we've never seen anything like that in sports. And the reaction of his manager was just stellar. I mean, that's why Torre Lovello is going to get the most out of his players in Arizona, because he's got their back every single night. And he showed it, man. When his player needed him, that cat stepped up and supported his guy.
Yeah, if you missed the audio earlier, this is the Diamondbacks manager on that moment last night with Marte.
I have to go to Ketel Marte, and there was obviously a very emotional scene out there, and we know how close you are with him. What can you share with us?
It was a terrible moment. Fans are nasty, and fans go too far sometimes. And I love my players, and I'm going to protect them.
protection starts way before today, though. You guys go so far. It's up. We were talking on the air. I know you're a father figure to him, are you not?
Right, yeah. You know, I've known Cattell for 9 years, and he's had some unbelievably great moments and some hardships as well, and some really, really tough moments in his life. And I know those. And at the end of the day, we're human beings and we have emotions, and I saw him hurting and I want to protect him.
Can you tell us what you told him?
I love you and I'm with you and we're all together and you're not alone. And no matter what happens, no matter what was said or what you heard, that guy's an idiot and shouldn't have an impact on you.
It's a good manager right there.
It is.
That's a guy you go play for.
That's a leader.
Yeah.
And that's what a manager's all about. It's not about the bullpen moves. It's not about any of that kind of stuff. How do you manage the people? How do you manage the players? How do you manage the egos? How do you manage situations? And that guy stepped up in a big way last night as the manager of the Diamondbacks, man. That was a baller move by him.
No doubt about it. Coming up on the other side, Deontay Johnson.
That guy's an idiot.
We'll explain why we say that here on the other side on 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 96.5, Kansas City's FM sports station. 96.5 The Fan.
That's right. Just had manager McIntyre on the show here. Thanks to him for joining the show today. They played Mr. Rasmussen, that guy that was, what was he, like a fictitious god in the Russian history or whatever? Rasmussen, was that his name?
Yeah, Rasputin. Yeah.
That guy. Yeah, got laid more than I did. It's not hard to do that. But we asked a question on X on our page, TheFan965. Who do you want to see hit third for the Kansas City Royals? Because yesterday we talked about it a little bit, brought it up, and Michael Garcia's name got popped around to say maybe we could see Michael Garcia hit second, move Bobby to third. So we asked the question. 330 of you have voted, so 330 people out there. 46.1% still say Michael Garcia should hit third, 27 mm-hmm. and 27 on Bobby Witt and Caglione.
Wow.
So no movement. We don't want. Mm-hmm. According to 330 people, very small sample size.
Yeah.
But yesterday was like, let's move Michael to second, have Bobby hit third. Let's have Bobby lead off, have Michael hit second, and Caglione hit third. Don't make my dreams come true. But we ask, and the results so far today, 46% of you out of the 330 say that Michael Garcia should stick right where he's at and hit third in this lineup.
See, I'd love to see Cags hit third in this lineup. The more I think about it, the more I think about what DeRosa said the other day on MLB Network about moving him to third. I'm like, that just makes sense right now. Like, whatever you're doing isn't working. That's fair to say. The results are the results, right? So why not switch it up a little bit? Because eventually, don't you think Cags is going to be your three hitter? Like, eventually? That's what the hope is, right? Well, you're not doing anything right now. You're not a playoff team right now. You're not an above 500 team right now. Now's the perfect time to see if that can be played out and maybe change some things up a little bit for him. Have a drastic change because he needs a little boost too. He hadn't done anything really. And so I think maybe you move him up to three, give a little kind of spark to the lineup a little bit, something a little bit different, you know, try something new and see what happens. There's literally nothing, in my opinion, that can be harmful by moving Cags up to number three for a little bit of time right now. He's already hitting 194, so it's not going to fry his confidence or anything like that. Let's go.
May boost it.
Yeah.
Man, I'm down and out. I hadn't hit the ball well. Right. Last time I hit the ball well was in Texas like 5 games ago. They put me a third. All right, let's step up and see this. Plus, I'd like to see him sandwiched between maybe Bobby, too. Like,
yeah.
You know, maybe have, you know, I don't know.
Who do you bat behind Cags? Do you go with Vinny or do you go with Salvi?
And then you go lefty-lefty.
Because
Salvi's had a hell of a June.
I would go Salvi at four just because he's a better baseball player than Vinny Pasquantino is. That's not breaking any ground. He's a Hall of Famer, right?
I also want to see Cags at third because I don't want to see him lead off.
Yeah.
Because he's been leading off a lot, hitting six.
Yeah, and so if you get Bobby at two, or Cags seven, at three, seven. Salvi at four, now all of a sudden you can't pitch around him because Bobby's ahead of you. You can't pitch around him because Salvi's behind you. he's going to get some pitches maybe that he's going to be able to hit and maybe do some damage with and then start to realize some of that success. So that's what I would do. I'm not a big, you know, look at the numbers and this makes sense or that makes sense. I'm a feel guy, and what I feel right now is this isn't working. Okay? It isn't working.
We also saw our Royals outsider, Jay Binkley, who he wants to see hit third.
Nobody.
So there's that too.
Yeah. I mean, we
didn't know if, because I don't know if last night's game broke anybody, but
that game last night really pissed me off, to be honest with you.
Yeah. So
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, it was very frustrating. I'll be honest with you. I was like, you know, I was sitting there, you know, cussing.
Yeah. I have a friend who's a Rays fan. We talked about the series.
You know,
yesterday.
A Rays fan?
Yeah. He's from Tampa Bay.
That's the bigger news.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Breaking news. Rays fans do exist. But I was talking to him. He's like, yeah, it's our worst pitcher. You guys, you know, should be able to get tonight. You know, it could be a good series. Rasmussen wins. You guys win the first game. We'll come down to that third game. I was like, okay, it's kind of a must win. And then they just go out. And again, it's one run. It's it's frustrating.
I was talking
to
someone in baseball this morning about that kid, TJ, or what was his name last night? Taj Bradley. Was that the guy's name that pitched last night? This kid's pitching last night, and somebody texted me. They go, they expect him to be like a legitimate starter, like Dave Stewart old comparisons back in the days of the Oakland A's. That type of pitcher. And so that's a borderline Hall of Famer. He may be in the Hall of Fame, I don't know, but he was always really good in the 80s and 90s and was part of those A's teams, you know, when they were competing for championships in the late 80s and early 90s. And if that's the type of pitcher that the Royals faced last night, that's a legit pitcher, and he's going to get better. He's one of the promising young pitchers, I guess, in baseball right now. And so he did his work yesterday against the Kansas City Royals. But again, the Royals haven't been able to hit anybody right now. It doesn't matter who's pitching at this point in time. Until they start hitting and you're not in the same category as Pittsburgh in scoring runs, it doesn't matter who's out there on the mound for either team.
No doubt about it. Something that might have pissed some people off yesterday was Deontay Johnson mentioning that he didn't want to go in the game for the Baltimore Ravens because it was too cold.
Mm-hmm.
41 degrees outside.
That's right.
That's true.
That's crazy. True. Yeah. He said that yesterday. Yeah. He didn't go in a game because it was too cold. 41 degrees. And then signed with Cleveland in the offseason.
He didn't want to put bad stuff on tape. That's what he said.
Well, his attitude's bad enough.
I don't know. Sometimes not on tape stuff is worse than on tape stuff. Right? Like not wanting to go in. That's like Anthony Richardson-esque.
Yeah.
I was just tired. Okay. I would be more happy if you were tired and fatigued and got, you know, made a bad decision. You're like, yeah, you know, whatever. At least you went there and tried. At least you didn't say, yeah, it's too cold to play.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. I mean,
it's football.
We had, like, guys on the Chiefs at the Super Bowl legitimately pooping their pants and getting out there and playing and sucking it up. Like, Travis Kelce was not healthy in that game. I think it's safe to say everybody knows that now, right? And he tried to gut it up and get out there and play because that's what his teammates needed. This guy is telling the other 51 players on his team, it's too cold and you're not important enough for me. And I'm not going to play because the temperature is too cold and I don't really care about y'all. I wouldn't have never signed that guy. And shockingly, he goes to Cleveland, right? Like, that is the place where losers go, Cleveland, Ohio. There's no other way to describe it. It is Loserville, USA up there. And so that's the perfect spot for him. But it also shows you how stupid he is, because Cleveland's one of the colder places to play in the NFL. You start looking at the average temperature, it's about 40 degrees in October! So is this guy ever going to play a game for the Cleveland Browns? Because you're going to have games in Cleveland, games in Pittsburgh, games in Baltimore, games in Cincinnati. Those are just your division games. You got 8 home games and then 3 other games on the road, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 games that you have that are probably going to be in cold weather. You didn't sign with the Miami Dolphins, man. You signed with the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, I just don't understand that. Speaking of a guy that's getting ready to be signed, is the NBA draft is tonight. Cooper Flagg will be the first overall pick. I saw this from Spot Track about 30 minutes ago. If Cooper Flagg is a superstar, which I think a lot of people in the United States want him to be that guy, because we've seen the MVPs in the last couple of years, been an American-born guy, he'll be the first white American-born basketball player drafted number one overall since Bill Walton
since
1974.
70s. Yeah.
So been quite a time. This is what his rookie contract will look like, 25 to 28, $62.7 million. That's what they're, you know, educating. That's what they're hypothetically saying he'll get.
Is basketball slotted like the NFL is?
Well, it depends on where you get drafted. Like, The higher you get drafted,
the lottery.
The lottery.
The lotteries are slotted money, and then everything after that is not slotted money. Yeah.
There's a 30% chance he could get a supermax extension if he is the athlete that they think he can be, which would be a $359 million max contract.
When can he sign that?
2029.
Okay.
After that, there's a 35% chance that he gets the supermax extension, which would be from 2034 to 2038. Long time ahead of. He would make $509 million. So the career path that Cooper Flagg could make, if he is the superstar as promised, he would make a total of $930 million and would be 31 years old.
It's nuts. It's crazy. Say
that number again.
So if he gets to the Supermax extension by 2034 to 2038, he would make $509 million in that extension, which would total his career earnings to $930 million, and Flagg would be 31 years old.
So he's going to be a billion-dollar athlete from salary alone. Is he going to be the first one?
If it works out.
Yeah.
Because he'll have the whole take. He was here, so is Zion, right? Zion was that guy coming out of Duke, going to be the superstar of the NBA moving forward. Zion kind of had some more fun outside the NBA. Love them, you know, that Creole in New Orleans. Cooper Flagg, going to get drafted by the Dallas Mavericks. If it works out after his rookie year, he'd get a Supermax extension, which would be $359 million. If that works out even more so, he would get a Supermax extension to that, which would be $509 million, which would total his career possibility to $930 million by the age of 31.
And then you keep playing and find a way to make another $70 million so you can become that first billion-dollar athlete. Mahomes may pass him, though, before that, right?
That's true. Yeah, definitely.
Because Mahomes is in the middle of a $500 million contract or whatever it is right now, plus his 10 cents that he made his rookie contract. So he's got $500 million and 10 cents on his name. Do you think Patrick Mahomes gets to the billion-dollar level as a player only, not counting endorsements?
Probably not.
I think it's going to be tough.
Yeah, I think that's tough, man.
Especially with this alleged collusion that is taking place in the NFL right now that Florio seems to be big on.
Well, and because Mahomes is taking team-friendly deals. I know people don't.
They don't talk about it that way.
Yeah. That's not the narrative, but you know, every year it's someone else kind of taking over. I'm the next highest paid. And Mahomes doesn't do that.
Do you think Ohtani gets to $1 billion? He's at 730 now or 750 now.
What year is it?
Yeah, see, that's the thing. His contract's so long.
Yeah, it's all towards the end.
Yeah, so I don't know if he ever gets to be that first billion-dollar athlete in salary alone. LeBron?
I don't think so either. I don't think so.
Because he didn't make he made a lot, obviously, but not like we're making today when he first came out, you know?
No, I mean, we just had the first $300 million contract be Jaylen Brown. You see now, he's got a chance to have a $500 million contract, you said, or something? I mean, that's absurd.
It's nuts.
That's insane.
Is Jaden Daniels the guy who's going to be the first billion-dollar by salary alone athlete?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Could happen.
Right? I mean, if he continues on this trajectory, new stadium, Washington, D.C., the NFL wanting to make sure that that's a viable franchise moving forward, maybe he's ultimately the one that becomes the first billion-dollar by salary-only athlete.
According to Google, LeBron James has earned over $528.7 million in salary during his NBA career, making him the highest-earning player in NBA history. That is also not including his addition of on-court earnings. He has accumulated over $900 million from endorsements.
Yeah, so, but salary alone.
Yeah, salary alone is $528.7 million.
That's low. I mean, it really is low. When you think about it. Yeah.
20-plus years.
Is it low to have Patrick Mahomes as the third quarterback on the quarter-century team? Number one is Tom Brady. Number two is Peyton Manning. Number three, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, based on the impact that he's had on the league, it makes a lot of sense. Who else would you put on that list?
I mean, according to Sam Munson, he thinks that Aaron Rodgers should be on this list because this is the audio from yesterday.
I think when you're talking, there's a difference between like who is better, who is more talented, who is, you know.
Don't say talented.
There's a difference between like who has a greater degree of ability or ceiling or whatever, and who has had a greater impact over this century, which is 25 years old, but we're only going to count 5 years for one guy. Like Rodgers has had a greater impact on the 21st century NFL than Mahomes has, I would say.
Okay.
In part because he's played for the majority of it and had it, like he's been won a Super Bowl, you know, multiple time MVP as well. Like Mahomes had incredible impact already in just a few short years.
See, but I think it's
those few short years are so small compared with Rodgers.
I think it's fine to focus on a player's best 7 or 8 seasons as the main criteria, because then it's like, okay, just because Aaron Rodgers was born earlier, he's going to make the team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's how these things work. I mean, Larry Allen doesn't make the team because he was born 5 years too soon and half of his career happened in the 90s. Like, that's just the reality of it.
That's the reality of it.
His quote, Aaron Rodgers has had a greater impact on the NFL in the 21st century than Mahomes has. Mm. No, he has not. He has had a negative impact recently on the NFL, and I don't think anybody would argue that. But when you talk about an impact on the league, there is no more coveted athlete in NFL history than Patrick Mahomes. TV networks are adding games only if they get the Chiefs. Streaming services are offering up money to carry NFL games only if they get the Chiefs. I don't remember that ever being a conversation with Aaron Rodgers, where teams, and you hear the network guys, the schedule makers talk about all the fighting that goes on over the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't remember ever hearing that over Aaron Rodgers. I don't remember seeing Aaron Rodgers every year lead the league in jersey sales. I don't remember kids getting their hair cut like Aaron Rodgers. I don't remember Aaron Rodgers having this international growth impact on the National Football League that Patrick Mahomes has. It was 2 years ago, there was a soccer star in Spain wearing a Patrick Mahomes jersey. You know, like, this guy has had an impact on the league greater than maybe anybody in the 21st century of growing this game both internationally and nationally and creating opportunities for this league to print money. Aaron Rodgers has done none of that. I don't care what his stats are. They said impact on the league, and Patrick Mahomes has had a much bigger impact in the 21st century than Aaron Rodgers. And he's won more championships, too.
Other notable Chiefs on this quarter-century team, running back, number one, Priest Holmes.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting that he only had surprising. A three-year blip. But according to this Sam Munson from Semi-Pro Football Out of Focus, he's talking about, you know, Patrick Mahomes being born at the wrong time, and that's why Aaron Rodgers gets the nod. Well, if you're going to say that, then how does Priest Holmes make the list of only really 3 years of being a dominating running back?
Same with McCaffrey. He's number two.
Yeah.
And Chris Jones on this list of defensive tackles with Calais Campbell and Aaron Donald. No mm-hmm. complaints there
nope.
on my part.
Nope.
You could count Jared Allen. He's on there. It says Chiefs from 04 to 07. Then he had the Viking year, mm-hmm. the Vikings years where he was really good as well. But, yeah. Priest Holmes on this list is interesting.
It is.
Travis Kelce also on this list yep. with Tony Gonzalez, who you can count too,
yep.
Along with Gronkowski. And then another chief that made it was Dave Tube.
Mm-hmm.
As
Let's go, man.
I hit him straight, Dave.
That's right. He's on the list. Dave Tube is special teams coordinator.
Dave Tube is my favorite. You know, all those guys deserve to be on that list. The Priest Holmes one is really, really good because he was so good for such a short period of time. And, you know, if you look at Priest numbers, and I've done this over the years because I've been given them by his folks, he makes the case to be in the Hall of Fame, and he gets overlooked for the Hall of Fame. The only thing that's keeping him out, because he's got the same numbers as Terrell Davis, if not better, but TD's got the Super Bowl rings, right? He was on that Bronco team. They won the championship 2 years in a row, so he gets into the Hall of Fame. But when you look at Priest Holmes' numbers, he's right up there with so many Hall of Fame running backs. It's actually nice to see ESPN, who put out this all quarter century team, give him that recognition that he deserves, because I do think a lot of people now forget about Priest Holmes, but man, that guy owned the league for 3 years, legitimately owned the NFL for 3 years, was just an unbelievable football player.
No doubt about it. And we have our guys that we have on our list, which we talk about the luxuries of the Chiefs, because you found an article that says Kareem Hunt is the biggest luxury for the Chiefs this year.
Yeah, I don't buy that Kareem Hunt being a luxury for this team. I just need Kareem Hunt to get me a yard on third and one, or, you know, 2 yards on third and one, or second and one, or something like that. I don't need him to be a luxury for the Chiefs at all this year. And I don't think he is a luxury for the Chiefs at all this year. I think their biggest luxury, quite honestly, is the depth they have at wide receiver right now. This is as deep as it's been with good depth at the wide receiver position, probably since the first year that Patrick Mahomes was the quarterback of this football team. And I think this depth is ultimately better and has the potential to be better than that depth that we saw back in 2018. And so that's where I am right now. The biggest luxury for this team is that wide receiver depth. I think they're awesome there right now.
Mac, you think it's the opposite side of wide receivers?
Yeah, I'd go corners. I think they have six strong corners that we've seen all of them play real snaps besides the rookie Noah Williams. And I mean, even like guys like Nazi Johnson, who's at the bottom of that depth chart, was put into islands in big games this season. And we've seen it from the last 5 or 6 years now, however long Spags has been in Kansas City, that these no-name corners, seemingly no-name corners, become household names here in Kansas City really quick because they're good and they don't get beat. It's not for the wrong reasons. It's not Philip Gaines household names. These are guys actually playing good coverage, and to have six when most teams maybe have three, it's pretty good.
You know, you have to wonder what Philip Gaines could have done if he was with Steve Spagnuolo, right?
Yeah, exactly,
but,
right.
But also to a lot of that success of those defensive backs, I give Dave Merritt a lot of credit. That guy's the unsung hero. He's been the defensive back coach. Awesome. Look at the product that he puts out there, right? I mean, it's unbelievable. Those guys are great. So you got to give a shout out to Dave Merritt, who's the defensive back coach. But also, too, you're only as good as your defensive line is. And that shows you they're a really good defensive line because they're getting after the quarterback and they're making the cornerbacks look like superstars back there. Obviously, they're very good players, no doubt. But, you know, you get pressure on the quarterback, it makes their job so much easier. And that's why you can have this recycling, you know, center, if you will, of cornerbacks where you just bring in another guy every year and they play good because you got a guy on the other side, obviously, in Trent McDuffie. But you also got a defensive line that's getting after the quarterback that's taking a lot of pressure off these guys in the back end of that defense.
From the 913, you can't put the toothpaste back in the Dave tube. I would say it's Chris Jones. I think CJ95 is a huge luxury to have just because of where he plays in that important position of being a defensive tackle, which has always kind of been a very good luxury item. You look at the Tampa Bay defensive line back in the day when they had Warren Sapp, who just kind of wrecked the middle. Then they had Simeon Rice on the outside. Obviously, mm-hmm. They had a historic defense with Dexter Jackson, Rondé Barber, John Lynch, Simeon Rice, Derek Brooks, all those guys, Warren Sapp as well. You look at the Rams, man. Like, Aaron Donald, man, was a huge luxury item for that team that had a year in which they had the Triple Crown winner and the wide receiver. Matthew Stafford was reborn, and Aaron Donald was the focus point of that team.
And what was the final of that Super Bowl that they won? Like 13-7, right?
Well,
like
one of the worst you've ever seen.
Right, it was. But they win because of Aaron Donald. I mean, that's why they won that Super Bowl. That's why they won the Super Bowl that year. Aaron Donald was as big as impact of anybody on that team.
And McVay got his offense finally that he wanted. But
that was a fun game.
Yeah. The one that was the boring one was the Rams and Patriots. That was the one.
Yeah,
that
10-3.
Like,
yeah,
the 2017 Super Bowl, I believe. Would have been the Chiefs, but couldn't be Tom Brady. Tale as old as time. Mm-hmm. But with Chris Jones on the defensive line, what he does impactfully for everybody else, because you double team him, that gives Karlaftis a one-on-one. You double team him, or you don't double team him, and that's pressure up the middle, means you got to get the ball out quicker, which helps that cornerback field that is deep as well. It also helps out the middle of that linebacking core with Bolton, Tranquil, and Chennault as well, because of what he does is the main point. It's like, we have to stop 95 before we do anything, because if he breaks through the barrier, then the whole thing goes, you know, poo-poo, mm-hmm. right? So to me, it's CJ95 is the biggest luxury item for this team,
yeah,
in my opinion.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, I agree. He's the most underrated Chief of all time. I've got something on the all-quarter century team, but we can get back to that later.
Okay, like that's funny that you say the most underrated Chief of all time, because he does get kind of lost in the shuffle of this generation.
It's Butker.
Yeah, Butker. I mean, you could absolutely. He's a luxury. I mean, he really is, because there's going to be a day that Harrison Butker is retired, and you don't have that luxury of a guy who comes out there and does his job maybe better than anybody in the NFL. And I've said that before, too. I have no problem saying that. I don't know that anybody does their job in the NFL better than Harrison Butker. He's unbelievable at what he's almost perfect in his job. Yeah.
The kicker on the All-Century team was Justin Tucker. So I think he's no longer going to be on that list in the 25 to 50 year.
Wow.
You think Mahomes on that list from 25 to 50?
Yes. I think he plays another, let's say another 10 years. That puts him at 40, right?
That'd be 2035.
That'd be 2030. So, yeah, I think you to. Yeah. That would be, he'd be longer in that decade. Say, then, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Will he still be impactful, though, in the NFL like he is today? Or will that wear off?
I think we're entering his prime. So, yeah.
I think he's always going to be impactful. As long as he's playing the game, there's going to be kids that want to be Patrick Mahomes, right?
Oh, yeah. For sure. I mean, people still buy the Steph Curry jersey and still.
Yeah.
Know, mimic his game, even though he's on his way out.
Right.
Coming up on the other side, there is a name on the text line who people think is a luxury item. Plus, Mac wants to dive more into the Century team as well here as we wrap up Fesco and Dusty on a Wednesday on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Asked you guys on X what would be your decision, as we do every week on Wednesday, the Festival Dusty poll question.
I'm loving it. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
It is a great Wednesday. Fantastic. Another hot one, another scorcher out there. So like stay
7
hydrated.
Inches from the midday sun. Hot.
And about 7 minutes from the midday show, you'll get Bink and Gold again. We asked, who would you like to see hit third in this Royals lineup? Bobby Witt Jr., Michael Garcia, Jack Caglione. 346 votes are in. 45.7% have said Michael Garcia. So
that's good.
Man. Keep him put at number three is what the people want to see. What the people want to hear is what Mac teased on the other side, which is what he wants to dive into on the all-century half-century, quarter-century team. What's your take?
Well, I'm flattered. I don't know if people want to hear it, but I'm going to say it anyways. I don't know how Adrian Peterson isn't in the running backs here. And I know it's based off statistics and stuff. He's the last non-quarterback to win the MVP. And if you just look at the stats, they're like all-purpose yards. He's got 6,000. I'm just looking at his rushing yards. And these are the running backs' all-purpose yards, receiving and rushing. He's got almost 6,000 more just rushing yards than Priest Holmes had all purpose. Almost 5,000 more rushing yards than McCaffrey had all purpose. And a little over 2,000 just rushing yards than Derrick Henry has had all purpose and won an MVP. And I have no idea how Adrian Peterson could not be on this all quarter century team.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at the qualifications right now. It says players are still eligible if they began their career in the 90s, but only production beginning in the 2000 season was considered. These decisions were made mostly on statistical output, focusing on peak seasons while still rewarding longevity. They relied on some stats nobody cares about. So yeah, I mean, he should be based on that. Yeah.
Based on that.
Yeah.
Stats,
based on that alone,
longevity,
stats.
He's got it.
He does. Obviously, he had the off-the-field stuff that, you know, he did wrong and soured the wrong people. But so did Justin Tucker, and he made the list. You know, and so everybody, you know, has an issue that they got to deal with on the field, off the field. It's how you handle things and how you, you know, deal with those issues. Obviously, Adrian Peterson did some bad things. And so maybe that kept them off the list. But I think you're right, Mac. I mean, when you went through the numbers and all that kind of stuff, it's kind of interesting to see Adrian Peterson left off that list. Yeah.
It's weird. I mean, just looking at his rushing touchdowns, 30 more than McCaffrey and Priest Holmes, all-purpose touchdowns.
Yeah.
Just like, okay.
And he had
a
big impact on the game, too. Yeah. I mean, yeah, a lot of kids liked Adrian Peterson, you know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of how you're judging the all-century team. At least I am, the impact that you had on the game. Can you tell the story of the last 25 years of the NFL without Adrian Peterson? I mean, maybe you could if you really wanted to, but I mean, I think he's been a big part of this league over the last 25 years.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that from the jump in college, like started as a freshman at Oklahoma, was a stud, then came back the next year, was a stud, comes back a junior year. I don't know, his sophomore year he got hurt, I believe, and then his junior year he came back, ran out of the room with Oklahoma, and then got drafted and was exactly what they thought he'd be in the NFL. Like, he was one of those guys that from the jump was always going
to
be there.
Yeah. Yeah. He was never one of those guys that needed to kind of grow into the position. Like, he didn't even make the practice squad for that 53 man roster, but yet you have Kyle Juszczyk on there. Do you need a fullback? Do you have to have a fullback on your roster? Like, why not say we're not using a fullback here? Let's go with another running back on that list.
I mean, because what, Kyle Juszczyk is the only fullback?
The only one. He had no practice squatter. Like,
I'm trying to think of that Ravens
Anthony
guy. Anthony Sherman. The Ravens had a guy for a long time.
Yet he played here for a hot minute.
For like 2 seconds.
LaRon McClain is what his name was. Is that the guy you're thinking of?
LaRon McClain?
No.
Yippee-ki-yay.
I don't know who you're thinking of them, because he's the only really Raven fullback that I remember, and that's because he was here for 2 seconds.
Somebody says maybe they left him off because he can't fight at that poker game. That was a tough video to watch.
Vonta Leach. Remember
Ooh,
him?
No, I never heard of
he
that person.
Fun. He may be just being great in Madden, but he was really fun.
Have you ever had a leech on you?
No. Ooh, I'd freak out.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound fun.
Well, Willem Dafoe, that was like his cure in Speed 2 on the boat. I don't know if you ever saw Speed 2. Did you ever see Speed 1?
I've seen Speed 1.
Oh, man. Pop quiz, hot shot. Yeah, so...
When you think of Vikings, do you think Peterson first? I'm just curious.
Randy Moss.
Okay.
Probably Randy Moss, Chris Carter.
Yep. Moss would be first for me. I'm just curious. Peterson would be second for me. Okay. But I'm younger, so that's why I'm curious.
Yeah, I'd say my top three Vikings that I would think of at the top of my head would be Randy Moss, Chris Carter, and Randall.
Okay.
Because Randall Fair. Just scared the hell out of me as a kid. Like, I didn't know...
Herschel Walker...
Alrighty.
Yeah.
But I think like Tommy Kramer, you know, as a quarterback back in the day, like who's the guy who had the eye black all the time?
Randall.
Yeah, John Randall. Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking you were saying Randall. I thought you were thinking Randall
Cunningham.
I
think of him with Philly.
That makes sense.
Of course. Yeah. Didn't he have a hot minute with Minnesota?
Oh, yeah.
Then, right?
He wore 7 in the Purple People Eater.
So I'm like, okay, him. And then Dante Culpepper is another name that immediately comes to mind, you know, with the Minnesota Vikings. There are a lot of good guys from the 80s and the set. Like, my dad was a pseudo Viking fan growing up. So I heard all these old players and Fran Tarkenton and all these guys back in the day. And so, you know, there was a lot of good Viking players over the years.
Do you think more people know Jared Allen as a Viking or a Chief?
A Viking.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still had one of the coolest like sign-offs to the NFL career.
Yeah,
ever.
It was great.
Riding off into the sunset on horseback with a cowboy hat on because, of course, Jared Allen.
Yeah.
So we had the 73 days until the Chiefs' first game in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Do you know the last number 73 for the Kansas City Chiefs?
No.
Nick Allegretti.
Oh, nice.
And I believe before him was Jeff Allen. If you remember Jeff.
I remember Jeff. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember Jeff. Somebody says Brad Johnson. Come on.
Brad Johnson. Yeah. He was another good quarterback for the Vikings, you know.
And then went to Tampa Bay and won a Super Bowl on the backs of a defense.
Uh-huh.
Got to open my OTA notes, but there was some note about Allegretti and a lineman that we have. I'll find it.
You got to open. So they coin collectors together? Because they were. Allegretti was a big coin collector. Binkley asked him about it one time.
He's over there talking to Kramer about it right now.
Oh, there we go. This is, Andy Reid on Caliendo. Great kid. Compared him to Allegretti. Similar, quote, building blocks as Nick Allegretti.
Okay. Just a guy, right? Just a guy that you can count on. Yes. You can stick in there and don't have to worry about it. Yeah, that's fair. I get that one.
Yeah. I mean, Allegretti's with Washington?
Yeah.
Is that right? He went and got signed there last year.
He got some money,
deal.
I think.
He got paid. Oh, yeah, he nice got contract. Paid. Yeah.
Hell yeah, he got paid.
Yeah, really nice contract out of him.
Royals tonight in action against Rasmussen. Michael Walker on the mound, must win game.
I don't know anymore, man. Okay. Like they're under 500.
Every game is a must win game.
It's
he would go, man.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of where I am with that. Like it's June, they can't hit. I don't know that it's going to get any better. So until it does, I mean, you know, I think they're going to lose a lot of fan interest, and that's the sad part about all of this because they told us they were a playoff team, and they're not, and they're not even a 500 team. And you can't talk about the playoffs until you get to 500. And the Royals are not in that situation right now, so we're not going to talk about them being a playoff team. You've got to be a 500 team. Before we can start, I'm closer to talking about them selling Seth Lugo than I am buying at this point.
Yeah, because that's what we said this weekend. If they fall, you know, flat on their face, go 1-6 in this homestand, are you buyers or are you sellers? I think a lot of people would say sellers.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Seth Lugo has to be one of those that you consider, even if you kind of are still in this thing, because he could bring you so much back from a team. And, you know, your minor league system isn't great. I mean, let's call it what it is. I mean, you look at it all the time. They're in the lower 20s. They don't have a lot of minor league talent down there right now. This could be an opportunity to kind of refill your coffers a little bit with some minor league players and get something back for a guy who's obviously going to hit free agency at the end of the year and opt out, as he should, because he's been so dominating. And so he's kind of I don't want to use the term a golden ticket right now. Like, I don't know that you're going to be able to get maybe a Cole Reagans back for Seth Lugo, But like when you had Aroldis Chapman and you flipped him for Cole Reagans, that was a great trade. Seth Lugo may be that type of guy at this point of the season, even if you are in it, like the Tigers last year, flipping Flaherty at the trade deadline and getting better and still making it into the postseason. So I think that's a trade chip that you've really got to explore considering selling at this point.
From a big fan of the show, my long-lost brother is pitching for the Rays tonight, signed Tyler Rasmussen.
I would get a jersey if I'm you. You got to get the jersey. Man. It's your name, right?
Shout out Sig Epps in Warrensburg there, T-Ras. I don't know, man. Can you just go out there and score like 12 runs? Can you just explode? I mean, I know you want to, people would say because that's what would happen. Let's say they win it 12-1. Well, I like it. They scored like 4-4-4.
Should have saved some of those runs for tomorrow.
Okay. But you do have some afternoon action. I know what you guys' plans are. Luckily for us, our day is pretty much over in 5 minutes. We got Paul Skeens versus Mizorowski.
Fun matchup.
110 on MLB Network. I got a parlay on it. Paul Skeens, 8 or more strikeouts. Mizorowski or Wizorowski, strikeout in 5. Nixon, 5. 7 or more strikeouts. And then I have the under of over 7. So
watch the Pittsburgh Pirates score some runs today.
Maybe that's what I have to do for the Royals, too. Over under 4.5 strikeouts for Michael Walker tonight. Take the over and then over whatever the run total is, and maybe they'll do whatever. Take the under, then they'll
what
score.
What is the over under total for runs scored tonight in the Royals game? 5, 6?
I mean, yesterday was 8.
8?
I believe so. I'll see what it is tonight here real quick. If we
when the Pirates roll the town, what do you think the over under is going to be for runs scored in those games? You got the Royals averaging 3.4 and the Pirates averaging 3.3 runs.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I just hope we get Paul Skeens in time.
Nine. Yeah. Tonight it's 9.
Okay. Over under is 9. Okay. Royals are plus 108 on the money line. So
feel like you got to take the over on that one.
Somebody in the text line says we need to change the drop to, yeah, go sell that man. All right. Well, we'll hand it over to that guy, Jay Binkley, here in just a second.
Things and are better when Binkley's here. I'm not going to lie.
He's been here for a month. Love it. Coming in at 10 to 2. Go do something nice for somebody today. You never know. It could change their day, their week, their month, their year. It's simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay hydrated, stay cool, stay groovy, stay awesome, stay nice. Coming up next, it's Cody. It's not. It's Gold, Binkley, and Drew from 10 to 2. Vern at 5:30, C-Dot at 2. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.